This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. The Dirty Diddy trial in chaos as Juror 6 is set to be kicked off for lack of candor. What does that mean? This as rhino erectile pills take center stage? What's that? I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. I want to thank you for being with us. Dirty Diddy, what the cuck?
The worst Netflix and chill in the world. Diddy the Diddler.
A set of these. Does this have anything to do with that?
Why does he stand in the corner and diddle with himself?
His small appendage.
Okay, this whole trial cannot be about Sean Combs' Tootsie Roll, but sadly, rhino erectile pills are taking center stage. But can we talk about what's happening with the testimony first? Joining me at the courthouse, Tisa Tells, pop culture investigator, commentator, and host of Tisa Tells on YouTube. Tisa, thank you for braving the elements. What happened in court today?
What happened to court sent a shockwave. Juror 6 looks like they are going to be ejected. Everybody is wondering why that is. You know, yesterday, the defense team tried to make it into an issue. They're trying to kick off a juror. But unfortunately, it doesn't really hold water. The prosecution wants this guy gone. The defense is trying tooth and nail to keep them in. However, it is shockwaves through the court.
Tisa, listen.
Yes, yes.
Race is an issue that has been appealed all the way up to the United States Supreme Court. So just tell it. Tell it just like it is. And I'll get into the law with Greg Morse. All right. Just tell it. Don't mince words. Go.
Okay. All right. Diddy's team is grasping at straws once again. And I find it funny that someone that is saying now that they're trying to get black people kicked off the jury. I find it funny that Diddy is pulling the race card where literally just a month ago, he had no black people on his legal team. Again, they're grasping at straws. They're trying to turn it into you're trying to persecute a rich black billionaire. They're trying to turn it into this is unjust. Again, much like the mistrial motions, and every time he's actually pulled out anything dealing with race, it looks like the judge is not falling for it, and Diddy's team is in meltdown mode about it.
Okay, Tisa Tells, don't move. Straight out to a veteran trial lawyer. And if you could, just for this one time, please, Greg Morse, take your defense hat off and let's talk about Batson v. Kentucky. Greg Morse joining me, veteran criminal defense attorney at Morse Legal. He's the author of Untested on Amazon at morselegal.com. He's won a lot of cases. Of course, they're all guilty. But that said, he got them off. Now, Morse, let me talk to you about Batson v. Kentucky, okay, which turns into U.S. v. Batson. It was a Kentucky case where the state prosecuted Batson, and the prosecution was accused of throwing people off the jury simply because they were black. That's unconstitutional. You can't do that. You have to have a legitimate reason for throwing a juror off, and that's got to be articulated by either side if asked. When I struck juries, I had a note, copious notes, beside each juror that I interviewed. So if I didn't like them, for instance, somebody that didn't have a job, I don't like that. I like somebody that can show up on time and do what they're supposed to do, i.e. deliberate. I don't want anybody that's had a conviction. I don't want anybody whose family members have had a conviction. I don't want anybody that hates the police. And there's a whole list of things I don't want on the jury, right? So here, at this juncture, the state's already put this person on the jury. They had to do something since the inception of the evidence that has concerned the state. And we are hearing Greg Morse, quote, lack of candor. In other words, they weren't completely truthful about something.
And that's exactly what it is. It was most likely something in the jury selection process, voir dire, it's called. And the Batson challenge, we agree on. That's exactly what it is. You have to have a race-neutral reason, and you have to show there wasn't a pattern to exclude jurors based on race or sexual orientation. And it's a very easy standard, as you pointed out, to overcome.
That's all about jury selection.
But the defense is just dovetailing onto what they argued in voir dire to challenge them trying to get juror number six off right now. So they're carrying forward their Batson argument to, hey, this just is what they've been trying to do the whole time, and they're continuing now in the middle of trial. I am surprised that the judge said he would decide on Friday this issue. In my experience of 25 years, judges deal with this issue right away because it's serious if you're going to remove a juror and put an alternate in their place. So I don't know why it's going on.
Okay, Tisa Tills joining us outside the Monahan Federal Courthouse. What more can you tell me about him? Have you been watching him? Has he done anything unusual? And I'm very curious about how this has bubbled up. How does the state know he has had a, quote, lack of candor? I think we all know what that means. Where is this coming from?
Listen, everybody is saying that it is some type of paperwork issue. Of course, if it was something more, the judge wouldn't even hear arguments.
Funny. But see, N-O. And nobody's getting thrown off the jury for a paperwork issue. Okay, I don't even know what that is.
You know what? But with the lack of candor, it could be something with immigration. It could be he lied about his job. But more importantly, it could be some type of link. Now, would I ever accuse a juror of doing something imprudent? Absolutely not. But you got to think about Diddy. Diddy is the one that is driving this case. And I believe Diddy is the one that is driving the prosecutional worries. Again, who exactly was Diddy nodding to? Who exactly was Diddy thinking he was connecting to? Again, at the end of the day, voir dire was
okay, there
fair.
You go. There you go. There you go, Tisa. Was this the juror, juror number six, with whom Sean Combs is connecting? Okay. That could be it. I don't know how that fits in with the claim of lack of candor. Okay, I'm going to get into the whole juror being thrown off, which could create chaos in the courtroom. I can tell you that from having challenged jurors in the past, and we've seen how trials have gone off the rails. When jurors start to disappear one by one by one, then you're in a whole world of trouble. If you run out of jurors, the case is over. Combs is allowed 12 jurors, impartial jurors, his peers. And if he doesn't get 12, it gets down to 11. It's over. It's a mistrial. That's what we're talking about. The other problem is if there's anything done incorrectly or inappropriately with taking this juror off, you have reversible error. So the state is walking a tightrope right now. Can we talk about rhino pills? What are they and what do they have to do with this case, Tisa Tells?
Apparently, rhino pills are something that helped Jane Doe get over the disgust of having to perform for her partner. Now, listen, rhino pills came up. I had to go and look it up. It is something that is sold over the counter at sex shops. It's supposed to make you strong like bull. But also, Jane Doe said that she just wanted to grit her eyes and get it over with. Now, the funny thing is, when she said that, we saw a visible reaction from Sean Combs. He seemed like he was very, very insulted and maybe even a little enraged at the implication that the sex she could do without. She said that she even bought them matching shorts because to see them standing in their own shorts and their own underwear, it was just a bad look. She felt disgusted by it. So she bought the rhino pills to make the performer go quicker. Again, it's funny when you saw Sean Combs' body language, he was agitated and he was insulted. Again, as much as they're trying to humiliate our little bunny rabbit, Sean Combs is the only one that is actually being humiliated. I can't imagine a man that powerful into perversion, into just dominating and controlling, finds out that his lover just wanted to get it over with because all she wanted was for him to hold her. That was his value to her.
Now, this is what I know. Straight out to Dr. Bethany Marshall joining us, psychoanalyst out of the LA jurisdiction, author of Deal Breakers on Amazon. You can see her now on Peacock. She's at drbethanymarshall.com. Dr. Bethany, rhino erectile pills. Okay. I don't know a lot about the male psyche, but I know for some reason they don't want you to know they're taking rhino erectile pills. Where do you get them? Okay. Walmart, gas stations, convenience stores. You know when you go up to pay for your gas? I don't know if you make somebody else do that for you, but I have to go pay for my own gas. And they have like ginseng and energy drinks and all sorts of OTC, over-the-counter cure-alls and miracle drinks and drugs. That's where they are. Rhino erectile pills. And I don't know if they're FDA approved. I doubt it. And they improve stamina, increase erections, and extend the time of intercourse. Marketed under various names like Crazy Rhino 25,000, Platinum Rhino 25,000, and so on. And so, oh, lack of FDA approval. Okay, that's not good. But why, as you heard Tisa Tales talk about how Sean Combs acted embarrassed, what exactly was he doing when Rhino pills came up, Tisa Tales? How do you know he was humiliated?
Well, first, he leaned in like he was a little bit angry, right? He looked to his side. Then he realized what she was actually saying and that she continued. And then he did the courthouse shuffle, looking at the screen, looking down, praying and wishing that this moment would actually pass.
Okay. Bethany, jump in.
Okay, you missed the fact that Rhino pills last 8 times longer than Viagra, which I think is interesting. But think about this. P. Diddy orchestrates the entire scene. He's in control of everything. From ordering the escorts, putting them on a plane, paying for the matching shorts, which sounds like a slumber party for 12-year-olds personally. But the fact that Jane actually controlled an aspect of the narrative. She wanted those guys to get erections as soon as possible so she could get it over with, Nancy, which to me speaks to coercion. And Tay Garagos questioned her about this and said, well, if you didn't want to do these hotel scenes or these freak-offs, why would you give somebody a male enhancement pill? She thought that was counterintuitive, but actually it made sense to me that the quicker the guy gets the erection, the quicker she can get it all over with. But, you know, P. Diddy didn't like this because not only is that humiliating, but it shows that he was not in control of the entire scene like he thought he was.
Okay, listen to this, Dr. Bethany. Adverse effects, chest pain, headaches, prolonged erections, sometimes requiring surgical intervention. What? Is it really worth it, Bethany? Just to get an erection? You have to go to the hospital to get rid of it?
I've heard of this in my practice from a couple men who use these kinds of pills, and they ended up in the ER with painful erections that lasted 4 hours. In fact, one actually had to call 911, was transported to the ER, and after the fact, he said this was not worth it. But it was that chase for that sexual high. And that's what you see with this entire operation, that P. Diddy is chasing that next sexual high. And when we think about sex addiction, Nancy, it's really important to understand that sex addicts want to stay in a prolonged state of excitement for as long as possible. So they usually delay ejaculation so that the scene can go on and on. And the idea that the Rhino pills were introduced to get it over with undercuts the whole motivation of these freak-offs for P. Diddy, which is to keep it going for hours.
Okay, let's talk about that. Tisa Tales joining me outside the Monahan Federal Courthouse. I never thought that this would be the topic of my legal discussion when I was slaving away on Law Review, but it is. That's where we're at. We're in the middle of the Sean Combs multi-count federal indictment trial in a federal courthouse. Tisa Tales, I heard testimony that some of the hotel nights, and that's certainly a euphemism, would last up to 30 hours.
30 hours with positions held for 3-4 hours. While this man, imagine it, a man dressed in a burqa from the neck up and naked from the neck down is running around telling you, hold it right there, arch your back, breathe in. He directed it like the most serious.
Okay, wait. Where did you get those directives? Hold that position, arch your back. What? Breathe in? What?
So in Cassie's testimony and also in Jane Doe's testimony, I believe Cassie went a little bit more in depth, but Jane Doe went into depth too. Like he would tell her to hold positions so hours, so much so that she actually got issues with going to with her back, with going to the doctor and going to the chiropractor. Again, when you talk about wanting to extend whatever sick arousal he's in, he went out of his way. So again, the freak-offs weren't just like bam, 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 thank you, ma'am. He literally treated them like he was a cracked out Loki in the Marvel Universe telling people what to do. Again, it goes into the audacity, and I see why she was right there saying, listen, Give me all the blue rhino pills you have in the world because I want to get this over with. And maybe even somebody going too far and having to go to the hospital would be a better outcome than having to hold one leg up for hours at a time.
Okay, did you actually hear testimony that one leg was up for hours at a time?
Not one leg up, but arching the back. Holding the position. There was something about the way that he wanted them to hold position and arch the back. Again, they said it went through the contuity. They were not allowed to do anything in there except what he told them to do. This goes into the role play, but he would even tell the sex workers how to touch Jane and Cassie and also direct Cassie and the sex workers on how to touch them. And anytime it went off the rails, he would say, can I talk to you for a second? He would take them into another room because it was always a suite. There would be a separate bedroom. He would take them in another room. Sometimes he would have sex with them. Sometimes he would beat them to a pulp. And sometimes he would berate them so that the sex worker would actually hear the berating or the beating. And this goes into Cassie's sex worker, where he literally said that he ended up getting erectile dysfunction because he couldn't take what was happening in the other room whenever they displeased Diddy. So yes, it was directed from the beginning to the end, and he was in complete control. Both women have testified to that.
Dr. Bethany Marshall, I mean, in my opinion, my legal opinion, him telling her to arch her back and hold the position, he's asking for his very own Dateline special.
Yes, he is. Nancy, he's really using her like an object. Okay, so Tenny Garagus was trying to paint a picture that she wanted these freak-offs and she planned them. What woman wants to have her back arched for hours on end? Ouch, I'd want to go see the chiropractor. And also the fact that she kept planning these freak offs because she thought P. Diddy was in love with her and she was in love with him. And Nancy, coercion, sex trafficking, it always happens in the context of an attachment system.
We are live at the Monahan Federal Courthouse. Outside the courthouse, joining us, Tisa Tells, commentator and host of Tisa Tells on YouTube. Tisa, summarize what happened today. We know that the state is nearing the end of its case. Pros, cons. How did Jane do on the stand today?
I gotta tell you, Jane did fantastic on the stand. Our little bunny rabbit sharpened her shank and pushed back. I gotta tell you, it was actually really weird. Tenny Garagus in the court, she looked off her game. We've seen her on cross before. She is amazing, but there was something about Jane Doe that had her off her game. It was the way that she was clever. Again, not calculating, but clever. And again, I think she stood in her truth. The fact that she was honest, I regret every seedy, disgusting thing he made me do because I did it because I thought we were in the relationship together. It's also interesting that as things move forward, again, they're handling her with kid gloves. And it makes you wonder, could it be because up until April, she was meeting with Jane Doe, was meeting with Diddy and his legal team all through April of 2025. And it makes you think maybe Jane Doe, again, they don't want to open the door up to anything. But again, she did amazing. She pushed back. And the prosecution is confident that they will rest their case by Wednesday at the earliest, Friday at the latest. And when they said that, it sent shockwaves through the defense. Again, the prosecution is really confident, and Jane Doe really shined through and really brought home the sex trafficking through coercion, through fraud, and unfortunately also through violence.
Tisa Tells, you're right. To Sean Combs, it's showtime. I love doing that, ending my case abruptly when I knew the defense wouldn't be ready to pick it up right then. Oh, yeah, when you say shockwaves, I've seen that go through the defense. They're all sitting at the table. You announce, okay, I'm ending early. The defense can start tomorrow. And they're all like, what? Oh, Tisa Tells, isn't it true, the defense on cross-examination, this woman has been on the stand now, what, 22, 23 hours? Didn't they try to paint her to look like nothing more than a jealous girlfriend?
They tried, but they fell flat. Because at the end of the day, the prosecution did such a good job. A jealous girlfriend? Excuse me? You literally had me reenacting my first porno for hours at a time. While, by the way, I couldn't wear condoms. They couldn't wear condoms. But why, by the way, you're viciously beating me? While the way you're reenacting excerpts from The Shining in real life? Again, the fact that, again, they kept trying to trade a Bottega bag and a bracelet or a necklace as an excuse that someone would endure this type of abuse, it fell flat. But again, something was going on with the defense that they seemed extremely off their game and they didn't know how to handle Jane. That could be because Jane knows a lot more of their secrets than they'd like them to know. Who knows? But again, this was a non-starter with Jane as far as the cross-examination. So kudos to Jane for holding her own.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
We heard about a Bottega bag Tisa Tells told us about, and now we're hearing about a birthday and a very expensive necklace and bracelet set. Listen.
Jane does admit that Combs gave her $13,000 to spend on her birthday celebrations with friends and gifted her a Van Cleef necklace and bracelet set. Tenny Garrigos shows Jane a photo she took in her new jewelry moments before the three entertainers Combs hired arrived, suggesting Jane was excited for what was to come. Jane says she had just taken ecstasy and was happy about how the night had gone up until that point, testifying, "Any type of affection at this point in my life that I received from Sean, I received with open arms."
So that makes it all okay. Greg Morse, after he beat her and subjected her to three male escorts on her birthday, he gives her a bracelet so it all just disappears.
Well, again, Nancy, we're clearly watching two different trials because the defense did a great job with Jane. Her testimony was clearly justified.com for bad decisions she's ashamed of now. But again, not one thing in her testimony supported sex trafficking. Not one. She literally has the person go to Turks and Caicos. She asked for $15,000 to take her friends out to dinner and get a dress for herself. She loves him. I thought he loved me. Nothing has changed in that. Again, this is a battery case and an aggravated battery case masquerading as sex trafficking. I'm shocked the Southern District of New York brought this case. I worked in New York City. It is shocking to me that the U.S. Attorney's Office would bring this case because based on Jane's testimony, I'm not sure why she's not charged as a co-conspirator because filming a porn, acting out your fantasies as a rich person because Sean Combs legitimately made his money. This is not like Bad Boy Entertainment was created to have sex with people or prostitutes. It is an incredibly successful business. So he can act out his fantasies. It's not something that most people would do. It's not,
you know,
right,
what, Greg Morris,
but that's what
I'm
he did.
I'm all about a very insecure man who's like worried about this, okay, his insecurities.
Sure.
Fine, act out your fantasies. I don't care until they become a felony. You don't have to be a mob in order to be prosecuted under RICO. You are familiar with the Rampart scandal, are you not? Where the LAPD, the police department, was prosecuted under RICO for corruption. Yes? No.
Sure.
Are you familiar with the Rampart scandal? So it doesn't matter if you're the mob.
There was corruption. You're ignoring the direct testimony and you're inflating.
No, you're ignoring
opinions.
The testimony of the beatings.
Yes, her testimony was on the one point. Yes, I contacted the escort. She got caught in a lie by the cross-examination, but I knew that's what Diddy wanted me to do. That is not sex trafficking. That is not beyond and to the exclusion of all reasonable doubt. And you know as well as I do, Nancy, the judge is going to read to the jury.
Don't tell me what I know. I know that all these women, all of them, are not lying. They're separated in time and space.
No.
We heard Jane describe her reaction when she heard Cassie Ventura's complaint, her lawsuit.
No,
she nearly passed out because she thought this happened to her, too. You know what you don't know, apparently? What is the pimp Romeo scenario. And joining me,
an expert.
Lynn Shaw is joining us. Oh, I still hear him. I thought that was a gnat, but it's Morse. Lynn Shaw joining me, director of Lynn's Warriors, committed to ending human trafficking and sexploitation. Could you explain to Morse how sex trafficking doesn't require beatings, which we have here? Sean Combs knocking down four doors to get at Jane, to beat her. Multiple trips to the hospital. We have plastic surgery on Cassie Ventura's gash in her face. What more do we need? But in addition to beatings, coercion. What is the pimp Romeo syndrome, Lynn Shaw?
I will remain calm and I will explain to Greg what is happening now with sex trafficking victims. I am here in New York City. The justice system is beginning to look at these alleged victims and survivors of these horrible attacks in a different light. That same old playbook, Greg, does not work anymore. Force, fraud, coercion, trauma, bonding. You need a lesson in that, Greg. Trauma, bonding. Please go look it up. Triple M, which is monster, manipulator, master, triple D, dirty ditty, degenerate, is a pimp and a trafficker, in my personal opinion. I see this over and over again. He gets these women to do anything. They really think they're just, it's called the Romeo effect. We're talking about it day and night. He just gets them to think they're the only one, they're the girlfriend. They are psychologically attached to this alleged trafficker, pimp, in my opinion, and they will do anything to please them. And as they go down this road, they just keep getting weaker and weaker and weaker. So I don't want to hear about necklaces and trips and she's hiring sex workers or anything. This is a case of sex trafficking. And again, I'm going to point out the justice system, I'm very familiar with it right here in New York City, New York State, is beginning to look at these types of situations in a different light. Hallelujah, because I'm tired of everything, that old playbook being on all of the victims all the time. And here's what I have to say. I don't care about anything we're hearing. You know what? This is forced fraud coercion. A lot of people are complicit working. He's got a lot of disciples, this Dirty Diddy. Dirty Diddy disciples. Everybody write that down. And you know what? This is a case of criminal enterprise. This is a case of RICO. So let's just all agree that these women are not at fault. They are victims.
Straight back out to Bethany Marshall, Dr. Bethany Marshall, joining us out of L.A., psychoanalyst. I need to nail down what is Pimp Romeo. And the thing I can compare it to that people may understand a little bit better is the battered women syndrome, where it's a cycle, right? The husband, partner, whatever, gives the woman flowers, gives her jewelry, apologizes, I don't know what's wrong with me, I'm so sorry, I was drunk, blah, blah, fill in the blank. Then, that's called the honeymoon phase, tension builds. Nothing particular has to be happening, but tension begins building. And then the eruption, where the beating, the massive beating, takes place. Then the honeymoon phase. Same thing here. And the wife slash partner stays in it because of a number of reasons. I don't want to break up the family. I need the money. I don't have anywhere to go. I've got to stay in this for the children until they what? Graduate high school, graduate college, get through middle school. Doesn't matter. Fill in the blank. And the woman stays in it. I think part of it is the woman's, and it's typically a woman. Yes, all of you always say men can be beaten too. Yes, sure they can, but it's very rare. The woman has been conditioned, really, since birth, not me, luckily, to want this picture-perfect Hallmark card marriage with the family and the Christmas tree and the Easter egg hunts and the blah, the blah, right? They think that's going to happen. And it's so ingrained in them, they choose to believe the partner, the husband, for a number of reasons. Maybe they don't have a job. Maybe they can't make a living. It could be any reason they feel wrongly. They have to stay in it. Here, there's always the carrot. There's the carrot and the stick to make the horse run, right? The carrot is, I love you, baby. You're my crack pipe. Sean Combs' words, if my husband called me a crack pipe, he would be in his own Dateline special. But that said, then there is the stick. The beatings. Either do it because you love me or do it because I beat you. Carrot Stick, Pimp Romeo. Why do they stay?
You know, Nancy, because these women want what all of us want. They want to love and to be loved. They do want the Christmas holidays. They do want the families. Of course they do. And these Pimp Romeo guys are so seductive at the beginning. They do, as you described, they offer gifts. They're very manipulative. They tell the woman how beautiful she is. But soon that underbelly, that dark side emerges where the woman is just treated like an object. And whenever she tries to break away, the man manipulates even more. And eventually, when the manipulation doesn't work, he uses violence. And we can see this in a very heartbreaking way in Jane's testimony yesterday, where she describes wanting to go out with him alone for her birthday. And she doesn't want to have the dinner at Nobu because Nobu is at a hotel and she knows if they go there, there'll be a freak off. So she begs to go to other restaurants so she can be alone with her sweetheart. So you can see here the beginning of the Pimp Romeo syndrome, where she actually has deluded herself into thinking they have a true relationship. So they do go to Nobu. And on one of these dinners, what happens? He has three escorts, male escorts, waiting in another room. Can you imagine going out on a date with somebody? You think, you know, it's all lovey-dovey, and all of a sudden three prostitutes jump out of the next room. I mean, that is really, I think, a snapshot into this relationship and the abusive aspects where I'm like, he wasn't taking her out to dinner. He was just manipulating and coercing her to get her to have sex with other guys. And you can see this all throughout her testimony, story after story. And one more heartbreaking aspect, Nancy, is that when he was coercing her to do these freak-offs, he was taking other women to the Met Gala, to Turks and Caicos. And these women did not have to do the freak-offs. So she lost objectivity that she was the sex slave waiting at home while he was out in public with these other women.
Yeah, he got really, really angry. Sydney Sumner joining us, Crime Stories investigative reporter. Sydney, he got really angry when Jane posted a photo of Combs and Jane out having dinner somewhere. And she would sit on the fringes watching and looking at all the other social media where other women would post being out with him. But when she posted something, he forced her to take it down and got really angry.
Nancy, Combs' face wasn't even in that photo. It was a picture of the dish that she had while they were out to dinner together. And he said, you need to delete that because somebody could figure out that we were together that night because of your post.
What a weirdo.
Not even outright photos, just hints that they're possibly together.
Sydney Sumner, don't move. Don't move, Sydney. Bethany, he got mad over a picture of a salad. Really?
And you know, at the same time,
might be able to tell that's my elbow.
At the same time, Nancy, he went on a new podcast with Young Miami and was talking about intimate details of their sexual relationship. All the while, he wouldn't even let Jane post a picture of food. So if that is not, in a way, some form of modern slavery, I don't know. Somebody gets chained in the basement while somebody gets treated with special favors, or like families where one child is chosen to be abused and starved and the other children are loved. I think this is sort of a broad pattern, not only of exploitation and of coercion, but profound devaluation of Jane. So she gets in a position where she is so devalued, she doesn't feel she has rights anymore.
I understand that Greg Morse is gnashing his teeth and switching his tail. What's your problem?
Well, it's interesting that, you know, I've never heard of sex traffic victims go to Nobu one night, then go on their own. This notion, listen, all the testimony that's been given so far from Jane and Cassie's own mouth is that they thought this was going to be a path to whatever in their career. Maybe Cassie doesn't sing that well and she thought this would work.
Have
Jane wanted
nothing?
To have nice things. No, but you're conflating so
I
many things that aren't relevant to a court of law. Remember, Nancy.
Just because you start talking louder and louder doesn't mean you're
evidence.
Right.
No, you just don't like that.
Did
I'm
you
right,
not hear
I'm
anything about the Pimp Romeos? Nothing? Okay.
I heard Dr. Marshall describe was a domestic battery situation. And that's what this is. That's what I've been saying. This is not sex trafficking. It's not even close. No, but you're watching different cases. You're just upset that, as usual, the defense is right over the prosecution.
Think of something new. Think of something new to say. You already said that. We're watching different cases. I heard that. Sydney Sumner, got a question for you. Let's get down to some brass tacks here. Isn't it true that today, during a discussion regarding evidence amongst the lawyers, we find out about two more recorded phone calls from King Combs? Sean Combs himself, he doesn't make Christina Corum do his dirty work. He gets on the phone himself. What's the significance of that phone call with Jane?
Well, Nancy, we heard one phone call after their 2023 trip to Turks and Caicos, where Jane says that Combs sprung another hotel night on her. And the defense had a good point here. Jane had reached out to a entertainer before they even left, intending to invite him on the trip. So they did make a good point there. But we hear a phone call after that where they're exchanging loving messages about how much fun they had on this trip. And Sean Combs calls Jane his crack pipe. I don't know if that's supposed to be romantic, but we heard that he had such a good time with her and that he's so addicted to being with her that he was going to call her his crack pipe going forward.
The jury heard a voicemail Combs left Jane in response to her loving text messages calling her his crack pipe. Combs expressed how much fun he had with Jane on their 2023 Turks and Caicos trip and told Jane to get her rest and informing her of his newest nickname for her. Quote, "You are the crack pipe. That's my new name for you. Crack pipe. I'm going to call you crack pipe. Very good time together."
That's all well and good to hear it from a reporter, but let's hear it from the horse's mouth.
Hey, baby, we had a great time staying in the light. It's all good. Get your rest. You are the crack pipe. That's my new name for you, crack pipe. Or should I call you CP? But, yeah, I want you to stay in the light. You know what I'm saying? We had a very, very good time together. Yeah, I had a great time. And I really, really want you to get some rest. I ain't know about you throwing up and all that. That's when I was like, hold up a second. All right, get some rest, baby. Love.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Hey, baby, we had a great time staying in the light. It's all good. Get your rest. You are the crack pipe. That's my new name for you, crack pipe. Or should I call you CP? But, yeah, I want you to stay in the light. You know what I'm saying? We had a very, very good time together. Yeah, I had a great time. And I really, really want you to get some rest. I ain't know about you throwing up and all that. That's when I was like, hold up a second. All right, get some rest, baby. Love.
Joining me, an all-star panel, straight out to Chris McDonough joining us, director at the Cold Case Foundation, former homicide detective, and for my purposes, former vice. You can find him now at the interview room on YouTube. Chris McDonough, I'm going to call you CP Crackpipe. Really? Could you help me explain to Greg Morse, this is the same way that pimps treat the women that get out and make $25 a trick for them. They beat them if they have to. That's the stick. Then they use the carrot. They'll go to Dollar Tree and buy them a new shirt. Or they'll buy them a cheeseburger. Believe it or not, that's real. That's some real cases that I have prosecuted. That's the carrot. That's how it works. But in this case, it's a Bottega bag or a diamond bracelet. You get some birthday sushi and you're like, oh, my stars, he loves me. It's sick.
Yeah, it is, Nancy. I mean, this guy's classic. I mean, think about Burka Boy sitting in the corner, you know, butt naked from the neck down. And he's, you know, inflicting pain. Visually and physically on a victim in front of him. And to him, she has no existence other than his existence. And to think his existence right now has been reduced to zoo pills, rhino pills, purchased at the counter of your local sex shop. You know what he reminds me of? We remember the old X-rated booths in these old shops where, you know, you could walk in there, you pull the curtain back and there they are. Okay. That is P. Diddy. And the difference with him is he just has some bucks behind his lifestyle.
You know, Chris McDonough, I think it's hard for a lot of people to see that he is really no different from a thug pimp that beats the women. As a matter of fact, Chris, look at your screen. Look at your monitor. I want to show you the photos of the doors that were attacked by Sean Combs. There's one that was cracked in. Look at that. Actually cracked.
Yeah.
And four kicked in. Look at that. There were four doors that were broken in by him to get to a victim, Jane, to beat her. So you've got the beatings where he says, just put on some makeup and get out there. Quit vomiting. Get out there. There's that.
Right.
Then you've got the diamond bracelet. So how can you just see the diamond bracelet and not see the beatings?
Well, exactly. And we can see the beatings. His persona is, hey, look at me. I'm a good guy. But behind the scenes, he's violent.
Joining us, Sydney Sumner, Crime Stories investigative reporter. Sydney, bring me up to date regarding Jane's testimony. It's been, I think, 5 days, 20 plus hours of her on the stand, and now the state drops a bomb in the courtroom saying, oh yeah, we're finishing.
That's right, Nancy. So Jane has been on the stand for quite some time now. Defense attorneys have had quite a time trying to disprove what she said under cross-examination. But after Jane, we are expected to just have a few more witnesses. Prosecutors say they are cutting down their witness list and now plan to wrap slightly earlier than they intended. They always predicted about 6 weeks to make their case, and that should be exactly what we hit by the end of next week.
February of 2023 was the first time Jane claimed she threatened to withhold hotel nights from Combs. Jane says she threw the hotel night card when she realized Combs had taken another girlfriend on a beautiful birthday vacation while Jane spent her birthday having sex with three escorts. Jane says that at her threat of refusing future hotel nights, including one planned for Valentine's Day, Combs left the vacation a day early. Their Valentine's plans did proceed with Jane having sex with two entertainers at the same time.
We remember an American hero, Detective Sergeant Mason Griffith, just 34, shot and killed in the line of duty, leaving behind a grieving wife, Jennifer, sons, Trevor and Jason. American hero, Detective Sergeant Mason Griffith. Nancy Grace signing off. Goodbye, friend.